Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to speak with you. That number is 844-322-2742. So if you have questions or something you'd like to discuss with us, well, we cordially invite your call right now. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, a lot of people are asking questions as a result of this pandemic that the whole world is going through. And one of the questions that people are asking is this: why does God allow suffering in the world today? And that's an age-old question. We've asked that since the beginning of time, since the first person suffered. And that question continues to this very day. We know suffering is real. We've all experienced suffering to one degree or another. And sometimes we ask, well, where is God in the midst of it? Yeah. And does he understand, and can he empathize with us? And I just want to read a passage out of 1 Peter chapter 4. It's the first verse: since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. And I think that is such a significant verse, the fact that Jesus Christ took upon himself flesh and blood, and he learned obedience through suffering. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. And here Peter says this, that Christ suffered in the flesh. So he knows what suffering is all about. He suffered even to the point of death so that he could taste death for you and for me. That's what this grace of God is all about. So as far as your suffering, whatever that may be, whatever you may be experiencing right now, Jesus understands, and he's not distant from you. If you're a believer in Christ, he's living in you. And so the empathy and the compassion and the strength and the comfort is all there for you, sourced by the very person of Christ Jesus, who knows what suffering is all about. And so as you're going through suffering, entrust yourself to him. Turn to him. Rely upon him. Depend upon him. He will walk you through it. When we suffer, we have a tendency to give in to the ways of this world. We have a tendency to give in to the temptations of the flesh. We have a tendency to conform to the patterns of this world. But Jesus Christ never did. He never conformed to the patterns of this world. He never gave in to the temptations. He is without sin. So in your suffering, trust the one who walked through it to the very end, even tasting death for you and me. He will get you through it. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you've never come to that point in your life where you've accepted the offer of life that's been is available to you in Christ Jesus, recognize that God's near you, that this message is near you. All you have to do is receive, and you can experience new life in him. But Jesus Christ suffered. Allow that to soak in.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it will change how you approach the trials and tribulations that come into your life, whatever way that they do.
I mean,
they come at us in all sizes and shapes and in different ways. But Jesus Christ has experienced suffering. He knows what it is. And because he knows what it is, he'll get you through whatever you're going through.
Great words, Bob. Thank you for getting the program off to a great start. Friends, thank you for being here to listen. And we would love for you to be a part of this edition at 844-322-2742. That, of course, available in the U.S. and Canada. Same number, 844-322-2742. Call right now if you can. And to underscore what Bob is saying, you know, as we have churned through these weeks of practically a nationwide lockdown, worldwide lockdown, as a matter of fact, the temptation has been ever present to do as Peter did when Jesus invited him to come to him walking on the water. Then Peter got down out of the boat, Scripture says, and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And, of course, Jesus did. There is a message there for each one of us. When the turbulence of the world is swirling all around us, Fear not. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as Bob was saying, who, of course, is the master of the wind and the waves, and who is our very life. When God is for you, that's a great title for a series from Bob Christopher. It's a great theme for Bob's message, and we want you to have a copy of it. It's our way of saying thank you for your April gift to support Basic Gospel. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and be assured that your gift will help us reach out to people literally around the world with the calming truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. Be sure to request your copy of When God is for You when you make your April donation by tomorrow, as a matter of fact, Bob, here at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we had a call that came in overnight. Let's listen to this one from Anna.
Good evening. My name is Anna. I'm calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And my question is, do we have prophets now that predict the future, or should we just stick to the Word of God and our the Holy Spirit leading us as Christians? I thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, Anna, I think you already have answered your question. You just stick to the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Everything about the future that we need to know has already been revealed to us in the Word of God. And what is that? Well, it's the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. It's the fact that when He returns, we're going to be there with Him. It's also the fact that we're going to receive resurrected bodies and we're going to be with the Lord forever. That's what our future holds as believers in Christ. The other thing that we know about the future, for those who don't know Christ, there's going to be a judgment, a condemnation. There's going to be an eternal separation from God. So those are the things that we know about the future. Those things have been revealed to us already by the prophets of old, by Jesus, by the writers of the New Testament. And we can simply trust the Spirit of God, knowing what our future is, to allow that future to shape our present, to be the very thing that enables us to keep our focus, keep our attention on Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people out there, Bob, and that are always trying to predict the future,
sure,
are always trying to calculate the date of Christ's return. In 1988, somebody wrote a little booklet called 88 Reasons that the Lord is going to return in 1988. And then the next year, it was 89 Reasons.
Yeah.
It was going to be 1989. There was a group in the 1800s that had calculated the date, and they missed it, and they thought it was going to be the next year, and that didn't work out. And so there's lots of people predicting dates. The year 2000 was a huge date as far as, quote, these prophets were concerned, and we just have to realize God has said no one's going to know the dates and times. No one really knows the future other than what's been revealed to us in the Word of God. So, Anna, as you said, I would just encourage you and to encourage all of us to stick to what the Word of God has to say and to rely on the Spirit of God to teach us how the Word of God applies to us here and now. God's got our future. He's taken really good care of that, and He's given us a tremendous amount of hope. So let's rest in that hope. Let's let our lives be anchored to that hope so we can enjoy the life of Jesus Christ to the full by grace through faith here and now.
As Bob said, Anna, thank you for reaching out to us. We love hearing from you and all of our listeners for that matter. And we'd really love to hear from some of you right now at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can reach into the studio and speak directly with us. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob from Modesto, California, a question from Landon. He says, I recently saw a video about a transgender man to woman who was angry because a cashier called him sir and not ma'am. It is very vivid to me that it is not God's intention for us to change our sex or have sex with the same gender. It is a sin for us to refer to a man. No question. Is it a sin for us to refer to a man as a woman or vice versa? Or is it a sin to not respect their wish to be called according to what they would like? Sometimes I just want to cry because this world is so confused. I find myself in this situation. What should I do? That's from Landon in Modesto.
Well, I think that's a good word, Landon, that you bring up, and it's this word confusion. And when we get into these gender issues, it really is a matter of gender confusion, yeah. Somebody not knowing who they are. And again, that's why we need to stick to what the Word of God has to say, that in the beginning, God created us male and female. Mm-hmm. And I think studies are proving out more and more that those folks who have gone from male to female or from female back or to male, their hopes is to find happiness and to be able to live out who they really think they are.
See, you were even confused trying to do that term.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they're finding out that it's not what they thought it was going to be, that their confusion continues and their emptiness continues, mm-hmm. and their lack of self-esteem continues, and all of those things that they thought was going to be corrected in transgendering didn't pan out to be what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So as far as, how we respond to people, how we kind of interact with people, what we call them, I think we have to let, a person's dignity, human dignity, kind of compel us forward.
Right.
It's this thing called love. Mm-hmm. And our job, and we talked about this yesterday on the broadcast, was the fact that God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, mm-hmm. and that God cares about people, and this love that he has for every individual was demonstrated at the cross. And there at the cross, Jesus Christ shed his blood, and in so doing, he reconciled the world unto himself. He removed the barriers. He removed the obstacles that stood between man and God.
Right.
And now he's working through us as his ambassadors to plead with people to be reconciled, to receive this gift, this offer of reconciliation that is now available through the cross of Jesus Christ, to enter into relationship with God, to receive the life that he has for us.
Yeah.
So that's our job. So I think if we would let that kind of be our motivation, our compelling reason, then I think that will help shape how we handle these situations, mm-hmm. That the world keeps thrusting us into, with all of this confusion,
yeah.
that's swirling around today. So, Landon, hope that helps, and thank you for a great question. We certainly appreciate it.
Indeed, we do. And friends, again, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. I'm Bob Davis with Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel, if you're just tuning in. And we had another question from this one from Thomas. The dead in Christ rise first. Does that refer to the body only or body plus soul? Another way to ask is, since absent from the body is present with the Lord, is it our spirit only or is it our spirit and soul that is present with the Lord?
Well, I think it's our spirit and soul that are present with the Lord. There's certainly a theology, there's a teaching out there that talks about soul sleep, that our souls just go to sleep, and then at the resurrection we wake up and we get our new bodies and everything happened. I don't think the scripture teaches that. I don't think the scripture teaches soul sleep at all. I think when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, it's the spirit and soul that are with the Lord. So when the dead in Christ rise, they're just going to get a new body at that particular moment in time. And those who are remaining, who are still alive in the body, their bodies are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're all going to be complete, and we're all going to be with the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's talking about a bodily resurrection. I think the moment we experience our last breath or take our last breath in these bodies, we immediately go to be with the Lord, and that's our spirit and our soul, our human personalities are there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thomas, hope that's a help to you. I'll reach out again if you have further questions. Bob recently has posted a new video on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. It is called, Why Does God Let Bad Things Happen? It's what he was referring to at the top of the broadcast today. You know, most of us have heard the question swirling around the coronavirus, but no matter where it came from or why or the severity of government action or reaction, one thing remains true, and that is we will learn about all of this in the new video, Why Does God Let Bad Things Happen? This is one of the many insightful teaching videos that answer just about any question you might have about the Christian life. There's a list of the most popular recent videos that you can link to right on the homepage at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll take full advantage of all this teaching. It's all there free, it's all for you, and it's all from Basic Gospel. Thanks, Bob, for posting those. We had a question from a caller, unidentified caller, and it's regarding the end times. It says, in light of Revelation and the Mark of the Beast, 666, how do we look at what Bill Gates seems to be doing with his desire to mark people with a chip of some kind?
Well, we don't have to worry about the mark of the beast as believers in Christ. We've already been marked out by God, and that mark is the Holy Spirit living inside of us. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he is the deposit guaranteeing our eternal redemption. Mm-hmm. So we've been marked out. We have been stamped as someone who belongs to the Lord.
Right.
And this marking out, you know, when you really look at what the Word of God is saying, back in the Old Testament, God had encouraged the Jewish people to wrap their arms and to put a phylactery on their heads, mm-hmm. as a reminder that they were people who belonged to the one true God. And so what was that representing? Why was it on the head? Why was it on the forearm? Well, it was belief, and so our minds and our hearts are with the Lord. And then because our minds and our hearts are with the Lord, then that is going to have kind of expression in our actions. And
right.
that's what the wrapping of the arm was all about. It was the action, the living it out. So here at Basic Gospel, we have a tagline, hear it, believe it, live it. And so when we hear the good news, we have a chance to examine the evidence. Is this true? When we come to that point and believe it's true, it becomes a belief. It becomes the core of who we are. We're now believers in Jesus Christ. That's the heart and that's the mind. And now, as the heart and mind grow in grace and are renewed in truth, then we're going to see the life of Christ being lived out through us. So it's hear it, believe it, live it. And so when you look at the mark of the beast, it talks about something in the forehead, something on the arm or the hand. And what is he saying? He's talking about a belief, and he's talking about action. He's talking about those who reject Jesus and who abide in the lies of Satan. That's their belief system, and that's going to be spelled out in action. Mm-hmm. So that's what those are all about. We keep trying to kind of look at modern technology and look at what's going on the world stage today, and trying to figure out if that's going to be the mark of the beast. There's something much more deep than, you know, these technologies, yeah. and that sort of thing. So let's step back and say, hey, here's what we know. As believers in Christ, we've already been marked out by God as people who belong to him. We're a part of this new covenant, and in this new covenant, one of the promises is this, that we belong to God, and he belongs to us. Mm-hmm. So we're in. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, I think verse 11 or maybe verse 9, we are saved from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
Why are we saved? Because we've already been marked out by the Holy Spirit as the people of God.
And that's a great answer. Thanks, Bob. And we hope that's a help to our listeners. Well, again, we have just a little time remaining on the clock. If you call right now, you can squeeze in your question to us at 844-322-2742. Reminder that we, of course, are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day, and you can link to either of those. Take your choice at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to join the ever-growing group of those. Also, Sunday Morning Live, Bob. It's a great opportunity for those who can't get to church to join you online for a Sunday morning service, Sunday Morning Live, 9:30 Central Time, and I think that's a growing number, too. Pretty good group already.
Yes, it is. Yeah. 9:30 to 10, we're going through the book of Romans. We will be jumping into Romans chapter 3 this Sunday, and would love to have you join us.
Absolutely. Of course, once again, you can link the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net, just a couple of minutes before 9:30 Central Time on Sunday mornings. Question from Diana, one we've been trying to get to for a while but just haven't been able to. Did angels have relations with women, with human women to produce giants in Noah's time, or is there any truth to that, she asks?
Well, there's a lot of people that believe that to be true, that in Genesis 6, the sons of God were actually angels that came down and they cohabited with the women of men. Mm-hmm. And they formed this new race, and that's why God had to bring a flood about and destroy all of that and start afresh. And there are certain passages in the Word of God, several in the book of Jude, one in 2 Peter, that would lead somebody to think that could be the case. Also, sons of God, that phrase is used in the Old Testament to describe angels. So that's where that theology comes from. But I don't think that's the case. You know, when Jesus was asked about marriage in heaven, he says we're going to become like the angels. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that is not that we're going to become angels, but that, you know, there's not going to be marriage in heaven, and that angels are not sexual creatures.
Right.
So I think it has something else. I just think it's the sons of men, the righteous men, you know, forming marriage unions in an unrighteous way.
Yeah.
And that bringing about the evil that was in the world at that time.
So we appreciate your question, Diana. And in the time remaining, Bob, I think we have time to discuss what's on the screen here.
No.
No.
What are you?
This one says, what does the Bible say about God disciplining us?
Well, he does. And that's a good thing. He needs to discipline us. But it's not always about, you know, correcting. It's not always about... it's never about retribution. It's never about justice. It's always for our good, and it confirms our legitimacy as children of God. If God did not discipline us, it would show that he didn't really love us or care for us. But he does love us. He does care for us, and he wants the very best for us. So that's good news.
Yes.
So this word discipline. It's the word that was used in training up a child. And so as parents, you're always training up your child in various things. You're teaching from a positive outlook. Sometimes you have to jump in from a negative side, but it's all for the benefit of the kid so that he can grow and become productive and all of those sort of things. So in the Word of God, God disciplines us. That proves our legitimacy as children of God. It proves that he loves us, and it's for our good so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness.
That question was from Russell, and we appreciate hearing from you, Russell, and all of our listeners. And thanks to everybody for being with us today. If you have a question overnight, you can drop a voicemail to us at 844-322-2742, and be sure to give us your first name and where you're calling from. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Don't forget a wonderful message by Bob Christopher, When God Is For You. It's yours as you make your donation to Basic Gospel during the month of April. Well, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time. Bye-bye.